Welcome back to the Pilot's Lounge. On today's episode, we are joined by Fallon Blattner, the Vice President of Scholarships for the Whirly Girls Foundation. Whirly Girls International is a nonprofit really geared towards advancing women in helicopter aviation through everything from scholarships to network, camaraderie, mentoring, educational, and career support, as well as advocacy in the community. Fallon, a former U.S. Army Black Hawk pilot herself, shares with us her role in the foundation, how scholarships work, as well as how someone can become involved with Whirly Girls International. From wherever you're listening, sit back, grab your cup of coffee, and thanks again for joining us on the Pilot's Lounge.
What's going on, Bratellion? This is John Gray, host of the Hangar Z podcast. We love the Pilot's Lounge podcast and know you do as well. Hey, when you're done here, come check out the Hangar Z podcast. We're the first and only podcast promoting the personnel and equipment behind the missions in public safety aviation. You can find us at hangarzpodcast.com or anywhere where you listen to podcasts.
It doesn't matter whether you're in the military, law enforcement, fire, or just a business owner. The identity of your organization is everything, and it's the foundation of camaraderie and a belief in what we do. If your organization needs custom apparel, head over to www.brotalion.com, fill out the inquiry form, and allow one of our graphic designers to bring your ideas to life. Already have a logo? That's not a problem either. We will set up a store for you so that members of your organization can order whenever, from wherever, as little or as much as they want, and those items will ship directly to them. Maybe you don't have a need for custom apparel. Head over to the website and check out several of our branded options, including our latest drop, Rotor Vision, a play off of the classic 1990s MTV logo highlighting the helicopter assault force. All that and more at www.brotalion.com. On to the episode. Welcome back to the Pilot's Lounge. On today's episode, we are joined by Fallon Blattner, the Vice President of Scholarships with the Whirly Girls Foundation. Fallon, welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We're happy to have you join us. It's pretty cool how we came about Whirly Girls. We actually were not familiar with the organization, and another fellow Army pilot and Brotalion staff member, Brittany, when we were going to HAI, we kind of put a feeler out and we're like, hey, you know, if you see booths that you want us to go and talk to, engage with, let us know. And that was like number one on her list. She's like, go find out a little bit more about, you know, what this organization does. And honestly, when we went by the booth, it was packed. It was a little bit difficult because everybody had their own schedules and were pulled 100 different ways. So we were like, hey, you know, we'd love to have you guys on the podcast. Who can we talk to make that happen? And they sent us your way. And now here we are. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I end up kind of being the podcast girl. So I appreciate having you guys have me on the show and get to kind of talk a little bit more about the organization and obviously something I'm really passionate about. So I'm happy to share it with everybody as well.
Absolutely. And before we kind of dive into talking specifically about, you know, the foundation and your role in the foundation and kind of, you know, what the goal there is, we do Table Talk, which we know you're familiar with because we were like, oh, who's Fallon Blattner? And we of course looked at your LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff. So we know, you know, what Table Talk is. And I will let Spence, Brett, I don't care, whoever wants to kick it off, we can get rolling.
I mean, I ask the same one every time, so I'll go ahead and lead off in case you guys are still thinking of questions. But Fallon, we like to ask our guests, and we have a list compiled of these locations. Do you have a favorite watering hole or dive bar anywhere in the world? If you partake in spirits, if not, then we can come up with something else.
Well, I mean, I do. I mean, I feel like the Army kind of puts that on you a little bit, but aviation in general. But, you know, last year I recently went to Belize with a friend of mine from the military, and we traveled around to a couple of different places there, but found ourselves in San Pedro and had an absolute blast there. And there was, we met some friends and a really nice gentleman, like older guy who let us borrow his golf cart and go to the beach and stuff. But they were opening a bar there called the Jaguar Lounge, and it became a good favorite. So I recommend that.
The Jaguar Lounge.
Yeah.
That honestly sounds like it could also dual purpose serve as like a strip club in Enterprise, Alabama, but I digress.
Yeah, it sounds like someplace Ron Burgundy would hang out.
The Jaguar Lounge.
Thank you,
Brett.
Yeah.
Speaking of good movies, I like to always bring it back to film and movies because I'm a movie junkie. But what's your favorite aviation or helicopter inspired movie? If you don't have one, I can give you an option.
Give me some options. I would love some options.
All right, cool. So here are some top ones. Cliffhanger, Airwolf, or Apocalypse Now?
Let's go with Apocalypse Now. Why not?
Yeah, it's a wild pretty good movie. One. I actually just rewatched that not too long ago, and it's pretty insane. did you know that there's a movie, Whirly Birds? It's from,
I did.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, though. I got to get better on my movie knowledge, honestly. I'm pretty horrible at that, but I have not seen it, but I do know that it exists.
Yeah, I don't expect you to have seen it. It's from 1957. Actually, it might be a show. Either way, IMDb gave it almost an 8.0. So anyways, I might check it out. But good answers. Good answers all around.
Okay, so kind of looking a little bit about, again, and this is sort of weird because typically on the podcast, we really dive into people's individual stories. So this is a little bit of a different dynamic, given that we have someone on and we're really focused on a foundation rather than your story. But I do want to bring up, you know, you've done some contract work in your aviation career, and you've flown a multitude of different aircraft. Of all of the rotary wing aircraft, you know, what has been your favorite airframe to fly and why?
Well, I mean, I hate to say it today. We got a bunch of fellow Blackhawk pilots in the room, but and that's kind of where I came up in the military myself. But most recently, I was in the last couple of years, I've been flying, I guess you want to call them double-headed dump trucks or Chinooks. And I feel like I'm a convert at this point. So I'm going to go with the 47D on that one. But I love them all.
No, I don't blame you. I feel like every Lyft pilot who's not a Chinook pilot inherently like has that thing in the back of their head. They're like, man, I think it'd be really cool to fly a Chinook even just once. But like nobody ever complains. I mean, nobody's ever like, man, I wish I chose Blackhawk or Apaches. Like you can put a hammock in the back. They take grills. Like, come on. You can put your,
I thought that's what they said about people in the Lakota, Nick.
That's true. They love the Lakota. They love the Lakota. We'll give that one to you. But okay. Well, I think we beat you up enough on those, we kind of want to dive right in to talk a little bit about, you know, your background and how you got involved with Whirly Girls that led you into the role of, you know, being the vice president of scholarships with the foundation. And then we'll kind of get into the ins and outs of the foundation and what the overall mission is.
Yeah, for sure. I came up in the military. I knew I always wanted to fly and put in my time there. But as an RLO, I, you know, found myself in more staff positions and not flying as much. So when the opportunity came to go to the civilian world, I did that. And I always wanted to continue to fly. It was my big passion. And I was told by a lot of people when I was leaving that there was no way I was going to fly in the civilian world with, you know, low hours and things of that nature, especially in comparison to our civilian counterparts. So I started to go to the HAI conference, reach out to people on LinkedIn and various organizations and just kind of stayed in contact with people. And there's so many great organizations out there that are willing to help you and kind of mentor you through that process. I found myself at HAI in Dallas, and they had a military to civilian transition workshop, which was kind of the first place that I went. And upon, you know, meeting me and meeting some really great mentors there, they put me in touch with the Whirly Girls organization, not necessarily to get me a job or anything, but just to have mentors and people that were potentially in the same boat that I was, being a female, and then also through the military side of the house. So both HAI and Whirly Girls really helped me sort of navigate that process. And that was how I ended up finding my first job straight out of the military flying. Granted, I wasn't getting paid a lot, but I was flying a helicopter every day and working on getting the hours and experience. And I found the organization to be really supportive and encouraging. A lot of people have a misconception that we're a kind of, I don't know what to call it, like sorority, but it's more of just a group of friends that are there to support yourself. So I really enjoyed it. And that's kind of how I got involved.
That's really awesome. What a great organization. And I'm excited to learn more about it, but I did want to know, what was that first job?
So my first job out of the military, I was hired by a Part 91 tour operator in South Dakota called Black Hills Aerial Adventures, small family-owned company. And they were fortunate enough, I was fortunate enough, I guess, rather, to hire me. And flew the 206, which we all trained in the military. So kind of going back to your roots there.
So you know Bussy then?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm here working with a lot of those South Dakota guys. We can talk more about that later. Yeah. But you probably know Aaron as well. Maybe. I don't know if he flew over there. But that's really cool. That's such a small community. It's crazy that lines up, but that must have been a good time. And that's a really cool area too, of the country. A lot of people never been there, and it's extremely, you know, growing huge right now too. It's an awesome spot to be. So I'm sure you miss it.
I totally agree. I loved being there. Everyone's so friendly. And I think it's just because it's kind of difficult to get to, but I mean, I fell in love with the place. I'd move back there in a heartbeat. So.
Now, Fallon, kind of talking a little bit about where you were and where you've gone, are you still currently in any component, like reserve, guard, anything like that?
I am not, no.
Okay. What specific types of programs or did you find yourself using through Whirly Girls, or was it mostly just the networking that really assisted, or, you know, what sort of programs do they have now available to be able to assist someone who was in your shoes, you know, looking to go into the job market or looking to build that experience to be able to land a job in the civilian or commercial market?
Yeah, I think, I know there's a different reasons why people like our organization. You know, the mentoring and networking is definitely one aspect. I'm sure you guys know from going to HAI that can be really daunting your first time. It's very overwhelming and there's a lot going on. So kind of having a built-in group that you can, you know, walk around the floor with and meet people with and go to parties with is a huge aspect to that. But the real reason why our organization exists and I think has become really popular is because of our scholarship program. And I did fortunately get to take advantage of that when I got out of the military. I said I was a pretty low hour level pilot, and I came out with about 700 hours, which doesn't qualify you for many jobs in the civilian market. So my plan was really to become a flight instructor and teach just like the rest of the civilian world. And I ended up applying for a scholarship and was fortunate to be awarded it to get my CFI. And so I went and did my Robinson 22 and 44 ratings and subsequently got my CFI through that program. And that scholarship program helps people from private all the way through, I would guess you'd call it like advanced airframes or later down in their career. So that's a really good opportunity for people to take advantage of if they are coming out of the military or just kind of any point during their flight training and their career. If they're lacking in a certain area and need additional training, our program can really help with that.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like being a user of the scholarship? Are there specific flight schools and companies and stuff that Whirly Girls is like partnered with? Or can you as like the individual bring like, hey, I want to go do this one. Like, what does that process look like?
Yeah, there's kind of actually both models involved. On our website, we have all of the scholarships listed. We do the program once a year, where the application's open, you can apply, they're judged and then awarded for the following calendar year. So we were kind of on a calendar year basis. So applications open August, September timeframe, and then they're awarded before the following January. So you have the following calendar year to use your scholarship. And to respect to your question, is some of them are monetary based. So for example, the one that I won was $8,000. I indicated that I wanted to use it for a CFI program. I was able to choose the school that I went to and the program and put that money towards that. We also have donors or sponsors that come to us from various organizations in the industry and want the training to be done at their school. And maybe that's because the scholarship that they're offering is designed for that. For example, this year we just brought on a new sponsor, Palm Beach Helicopters in Florida, and they offered a CFI and II program. So that is done at their school specifically. But there is kind of two models, and each one of our scholarship descriptions on our website indicate what is monetary based, where you could choose to do it at kind of your home school, or ones that you would have to travel to the facility to do so.
Awesome. Thank you. And then I guess before I keep forcing us down a rabbit hole, can we backtrack this a little bit and let you talk on like the overall mission of the organization and maybe some historical roots? I know it's been around for quite some time. Can you just give our audience like a quick, you know, elevator pitch or whatever on who you are, what you do, and then we can dive more into like the programs, like the scholarships and other stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. So the organization was started in 1955 by Jean Howard Fellen, and she basically got together the 13 female helicopter pilots internationally, and they're in the U.S., Germany, and France. And she got them all together and said, I think we should start an organization to kind of mentor, network, and support each other. And so those were the 13 original members. They gave them all member numbers, you know, 1 through 13. And they ended up actually coming up with the name, which is kind of cool because a lot of people diss on our name sometimes. But they got the name from Bell, like Bell Helicopters in Texas. Because Gene's flight instructor was actually the founder of Bell Helicopters, and he used to call her his whirly girl because she was obviously the first female student he's ever had. And so that's kind of where the name and the history comes from. From there, the program grew from just kind of a support network about 10 years later into offering scholarships. And we've been offering scholarships since the mid-1960s. The program, you know, just started with kind of one scholarship and then has grown. You know, now this year we offered 32. So it just kind of continues to grow from year to year. We try to maintain our sponsorships and then bring on new ones as it serves the aviation community and our members.
Awesome. Awesome. There's a pretty cool backstory to your all's logo, correct?
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Do you mind sharing that with us, especially since everybody in the room is either current or former Army pilot, and most of our audiences, they may get a kick out of that.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting, and there's I always like direct people to our website because I feel like the photos do it better justice than I could ever talk about. But basically they kind of needed a way to recruit pilots into the military. And so they took a couple of Bell 47s and they came up with this helicopter square dance that they did with them. And they ended up putting these like big eyes with eyelashes on them and these noses and like super large mouths on these Bell 47s in order to kind of gain some publicity and notoriety. And that is the logo that we ended up adopting as well. So definitely go to the website. There's a couple of really good photos there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then the male versions have like little hats painted on them and stuff. I don't know, I got a kick out of it. That was a cool story.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's funny because actually I missed that on the website until Spencer just said it. So I brought it up. I was like, I just see Whirly Girls with a Robbie. I'm like, I must be missing that. But I pulled it up. That's pretty awesome. So kind of going in a little bit, you know, we've talked about the programs, but how does one actually go? Like, you know, we see there are assigned numbers, you know, one through whatever. Yours is what, 1850?
1950, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does one actually go about joining the organization and becoming involved? Like, is it only scholarship based, or can anybody volunteer to, you know, be part of it? How does that whole process kind of work for someone? Like, let's say I'm a young female who's wanting to pursue, even if it's not a scholarship, but the networking aspect, how do I become a member of that organization?
Yeah. So with our website, we just went through like a whole website revamp this year. We have multiple avenues that you can contact us there, you know, either via email, you can just send an inquiry, or you can actually sign up for a membership all online there. I do want to say that, like, we have what we call associate members, and that is meant for people who are, they have not received a helicopter rating yet. So they could be airplane pilots, they could be student pilots, they can be men. So there's quite a variety there, and we have a ton of associate members as well. We have corporate members as well, which is, you know, businesses that want to sign up and support the organization, receive publicity, sponsorship, things of that nature from them. And then in order to become a full member, you have to have at a minimum a private helicopter rating. That's when you get your assigned member number. The associates also get member numbers, which can be converted into full member numbers once they become receive their helicopter rating as well. Usually we work on kind of an annual membership, right? So there's an annual membership fee. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head. I think it's $75. It's not much, though. Each year for the associates, it's less than that. And that, once you have your membership number and you're current on your dues, that allows you to be able to apply for the scholarships. We do have a military option as well for people who are currently in the military or transitioning out and have not, or do not plan to get their FAA licenses. We have a military membership option as well. So we have kind of a couple of different avenues. We're really trying to support our maintainers as well. We were able to offer our first maintenance scholarship this year. So currently maintenance, A&Ps, mechanics and training in school can be associate members. And we're working for a more long-term solution for them as well to become full members and provide them not only scholarships, but networking and support as there as well. So.
Nick, you're muted, bud.
Not the first time. So, you know, on a year-to-year basis, obviously being in your position with the organization, you probably have a pretty decent idea about how many applicants do you guys get annually for the scholarships that participate in the programs and, you know, utilize that available funding to them.
Yeah, so this year we had right around 130 applicants for 32 scholarships. That is the largest number that we've had to date. We do hope to continue to grow the program. On the scholarship side of the house, it is me and I have two directors that help me out. But like you guys, it's an all volunteer based organization. So we all have full time jobs.
It seems like your organization is has a lot of, I mean, it seems like it's very strong and it's been around for a very long time. But I feel like it could, you know, it has a lot of potential to be even bigger. I guess my question is, you know, how do you foster and market support within the military aviation community? Because, you know, I know there's, like, Brittany, for example, she couldn't make it today, but but I think she'd be a great candidate to be, you know, a full member with you guys. And, you know, we all serve with other female pilots. So I guess my question is, how do you market the female community in the military aviation rotary wing space?
Yeah, I definitely think I agree on your question. It definitely has the potential to be much larger than it is. We recently brought on about a year ago a military liaison. I will say that she is on the Air Force side of the house. In regards to reaching out, we have, since being a volunteer organization, we have to sort of selectively choose when we are able to go to certain events. So we try to always go to HAI. We generally have a very good presence there. That definitely caters more to the civilian market as well as women in aviation. But there is always talk and effort being made to go to things like Quad A, maybe not even have a booth, but have representation there of some kind. And also through our kind of outreach programs, which we have focused primarily on children. There's a lot of research that, you know, getting kids interested in aviation kind of in that middle school range is really the prime opportunity to gain their interest and then be able to have them move forward in a career in the aviation sector, whether that's in the military or the civilian side. It sticks with them and gains their kind of STEM interest at that level. So we focused most of our efforts there, but I totally agree with you.
Awesome. Yeah. I'd like to just offer it here. I mean, we're willing and happy to help spread the word through all of our socials too. So if there's any time you need to share it, I mean, I'd like to think we have a pretty good eye on the community here. I do my best to manage what we have on the social side. So please do not hesitate to ask us or, you know, tag us in something and we'll share it. And I think it reaches as many people as there can be out there. But.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I want to invite all of you guys, as well as all of your members and people who are listening, as we do throw a really good party on the Sunday before HAI every year. And everybody is welcome to attend that. So there's not much going on before the show starts. So that's when we choose to have our kind of gathering.
Nick, write
and it's
down.
A great introduction.
I'll write it down. We went, oh man. So. Well, HAI this year was definitely an interesting time.
It was our first time. So, you know, we first didn't timers. Really know what to expect. And yeah, it was.
Ended up in a smoky bar on a Tuesday with a lot of people drinking on a very wealthy aerospace company tab. It was a great time, you know, but something that I'm kind of interested to hear, you know, not only your opinion, but kind of what the foundation sees, as I'm sure it's something that you guys talk about and especially advise and mentor, you know, much younger people on in the, you know, coming up in the aviation community, is how have you guys as an organization handled the mass exodus of rotary wing pilots over to the airlines, and how have you guys kind of career mentored people who aren't really sure which way to go?
Yeah, I think that is clearly a challenge that the rotary wing industry is facing, and there's talk about it this year and even in previous years. We actually have a scholarship that takes airplane pilots and helps them get their helicopter add-on rating. So we're kind of working at a different angle. but it is a challenge because, you know, I can even think of a couple names off the top of my head of people who are in our organization, longtime helicopter pilots who are now maybe doing the dual rated avenue or even going fixed wing in general. It's something that we talk about, you know, in our annual meeting came up this year. And I think just so seeing other individuals who are being successful in this industry in helicopters alone, I think can be really inspiring to those that are maybe in training or just getting their first helicopter job, to see that there is a future in it and it can be productive and beneficial and fulfilling for them and their families in the future, and just their temporary situation is not forever.
Absolutely. And, you know, as an organization, I think a good, I think that kind of leads us into the question of, in your opinion, not necessarily like through the eyes of like the big organization, but in your opinion, what are like the top three things that somebody should know about the organization, whether they want to get involved or donate and give, you know, funding to the, you know, to the cause? What are those top three things, whether that's mission or what would you want people to know out of everything? It's a loaded, it is a loaded question. It's okay. I understand.
Top three things. So I kind of mentioned it before, but I invite literally everybody I meet to come to our banquet, to come to our booth, to talk to us, to get to know us. I don't care if you are a male, a female, a student pilot, a president of a huge helicopter company, a penguin. I don't care who you are. Just come and see it for yourself, because there are misconceptions about our organization, about women in aviation in general. And once they get to spend time with us and talk to us, they see that we're just normal pilots. We're friends. We like each other. We like everybody else. And we just want to be all there to support each other. So don't be afraid to reach out. Number two is we do have a phenomenal scholarship program. I'm very proud of it. It was not all the work of just myself. It's the work of a lot of people. And there are a lot of great sponsors out there in our community. We can really work with anybody to, I don't say create an event if they want us at, you know, Girls in Aviation Day, or this school in Utah that's putting on a STEM program for the day. We want to help in any way that we can. And even if it's not us directly on the board of directors, there's usually somebody in that area that we can connect them with. So it's a great resource to reach out, and we can help facilitate those programs through our members.
That's incredible. You know, kind of building off of that, and I know we kind of previously mentioned it before, if something that we ask everybody, whether it's on behalf of an organization or personal, whatever it might be, we always ask them, you know, what their one piece of advice would be, whether that's to a new person about to go to flight school or, you know, whoever it might be. And in this particular case, I would say, if, you know, what would your one piece of advice be to a female who is considering leaving the military, looking at the potential for civilian employment in the rotary wing industry? What would be your advice to them? And I say that because most of our audience tends to be military aviators. And so if you were talking to maybe younger you leaving the military, looking into those civilian jobs, what kind of advice would you give to those individuals?
I think that my advice to both male and female aviators that would be leaving the military to go into the civilian industry is honestly the same. You hear it echoed. A lot of people don't want to resonate with it, but you are changing career fields. You might still be flying, but it is a different world. It's a different path. And most importantly, having respect for your civilian counterparts and the way that they came up. You want them to respect you and for the service and time and the types of missions that we've done. We need to give that back. However, in addition to that, you need to see no as a challenge and as a opportunity instead of a roadblock, because you will be told no a lot. And what you may think you should be doing when you get out of the military might not be what you need to do at that very moment. Seeing it as an opportunity rather than a roadblock is really, really important for people getting out of the military, continuing to take those jobs that they might not really enjoy for a year or two or three to get where
That's fantastic. Well, Fallon, again, we don't want to take a lot of your time. We know that you recently started a new job, and we're glad that we were able to, you know, have you on. Obviously, our schedules on our end have been a little crazy, and the whole community's been a little crazy the last couple of weeks with everything that's gone on. But we appreciate you working with us and sharing with us some incredible information. I know that we have quite a few people who have probably been looking for something along these lines, and we're glad to be able to help educate, you know, males, females, whoever, on the options and opportunities that are out there. So again, thank you so much for joining us.
On that note, where could said interested individuals, whether they want to join membership or donate or whatever, find you? What's your website? Are you on social media, et cetera?
Yeah, for sure. We do have a website, whirlygirls.org. We are on social media as well. We have Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook as well. So all of those options are good to reach out to us and our team on the board of directors there. So any of those. And thank you so much to all of you guys for having me. I love your guys' organization and have been following you for a while. So I really appreciate being able to talk to you guys here as well.